Roughly Speaking with Dan Rodericks is brought to you by The Ivy Bookshop, an independent bookstore at Falls Road and Lake Avenue in Baltimore. The Ivy stocks a wide selection of books covering Baltimore and the Chesapeake Bay region, many by local authors. Located at 6080 Falls Road, more information can be found at theivybookshop.com or by calling 410-377-2966.
This is Dan Rodericks of the Baltimore Sun, and this is Roughly Speaking, episode 412, the last in my five-part series of conversations with Baltimore principals about running a school in the city. Each of my guests received a 2018 Heart of the School Award from the Fund for Educational Excellence. They were cited in May at a ceremony in the Hippodrome Theater for their leadership and their school's achievements. Today's guest turned around a failing school, Commodore John Rogers Elementary Middle School. That school in East Baltimore was once ranked 872nd out of 875 Maryland schools. It experienced years of declining enrollment before it reversed course. Mark Martin took over as principal, replaced most of the staff, enrolled his own children, and generally raised expectations. His approach has guided the school on an impressive turnaround in academic performance. So much so that Mark Martin now mentors the leadership and teachers at four other struggling city schools. Mark, how long have you been at Commodore John Rogers?
This is my eighth year as principal at Commodore. I've been in the district for 20 total years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So did you teach in elementary school?
I taught at a couple of different places. I started out at Falstaff Middle School, which is in Northwest Baltimore. Taught 6th, 7th, and 8th grade social studies. Then I moved on to Waverly back in 2001, and I looped up with my kids from 4th grade to 8th grade, taught all subjects, focused on math. And then after that, I was named the principal at Crossroads Middle School, which is a charter school with Living Classrooms Foundation.
Right.
And was the principal there for 3 years when Dr. Alonzo first came in as the CEO. And then after that, Dr. Alonzo and the district asked me if we would be interested in moving on to a turnaround school, which was Commodore John Rogers in 2010. And that's where I've been since.
Turnaround school meaning? The test scores from this school were pretty low compared to schools throughout the state, right?
Right. There are a number of factors. You look at attendance, you look at student safety, you look at suspension rates, you look at student performance and achievement.
What did all that look like when you took over?
On paper, it didn't look great. It didn't look good at all. And I think that the telling factor there was that enrollment had decreased from around the 1100s in the late 90s. When I first came on board, there were 250 students that were enrolled at the school.
Wow, what a drop.
Yeah.
And what accounted for that?
You know, Dr. Alonzo has said it before. I think Dr. Santelisa has said it. Parents in public education here in Baltimore City, they vote with their feet. And if they're not happy with the school, they've had the ability to move to another school, keep trying to find that place that feels right for their child. So I think parents were leaving because they were concerned about safety. They weren't happy with the program. They weren't happy with the staff. And so, you know, when you add all that up together, you're going to look for somewhere else to go that you feel more comfortable.
What was the first thing you did as principal, looking at all those problems?
First thing was staffing. Because we went through the turnaround process, we had the ability to have everyone reapply for their position. Out of the 40 people that were at the school, we only invited 3 people back. And then after only retaining 3 teachers, we then looked for people that were a good fit.
I have to ask, why only 3? What was the problem with the others?
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily sure I would say there was a problem. I think many of those teachers could be successful. They just weren't going to be successful at that school. When you're talking about a school that has had persistent issues when it comes to achievement, safety, all those factors, there's a culture that exists. It's a culture of failure. It's a culture of just negativity.
Low expectations.
Low expectations was the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And so the easiest way for us and for me to change that was to build a new team.
And you like that challenge?
I love that challenge. I think there's nothing like having people come together to, you know, fall behind a vision and then to work their tails off to make a great product for kids and families.
So how'd you go about recruiting new staff?
So, you know, this might sound, you know, counterintuitive, but we actually weren't looking for the best teachers when it came to instruction and practice. What we were looking for were people that wanted to fill the need. Going to a turnaround school is not for everyone. Children are a challenge. The school environment is a challenge. Low test scores are prevalent. Behavior is an issue. You have to want to be in a situation where you're looking to support the greatest need. And I think that's what's present when you go to schools that have been identified as a turnaround school.
So there were teachers who recognized what a turnaround school was and wanted that challenge?
They did. They did. I think, we always tell people, you'd be surprised how many people are in this and want to be mission and vision driven and want to, you know, have their talents and their abilities used in places that most need it. And I think that's something that really our entire school system needs to move in that direction. We have a lot of talented people. I think if there's a way to move them into the greatest places of need, I think you'd have more and more schools, that are in a good place that parents want to send their children to.
So, was Commodore John Rogers a combined elementary middle when you took over?
It was. It was a pre-K to 8. And so, yeah.
Did you start with the new school year as principal?
I did. What I tell people is the decision was made probably in about March, but I didn't have the keys to the car until June, which meant there had to be a whole lot of hiring in that time period.
Wow, yeah.
There had to be a whole lot of programming. There had to be a whole lot of engagement with families and students in a very short period of time.
You must have worked your ass off over that summer.
I would say I still work my ass off.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
But I mean, just gearing up for September.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I would say is you don't really realize it. There's so much work to do, but it's actually fun work. It's work that puts you in front of people. And if this is why, if you chose to do this work to, make better outcomes for kids, that's work that you don't necessarily realize is hard.
So you had to assemble a team over the summer, get a new staff, basically.
Yes.
Did you succeed? Did you have all the staff you needed?
I think we got the right people that wanted to be there. What I'll tell you is we had some turnover after the first year. These were folks that were really dedicated and committed to children, loved the children. That was the biggest thing that we wanted the first year, was that you love children and you you do everything you can for them. I think what people realized, myself included, that this work wasn't for everyone and you needed a certain level of ability to succeed with kids that are, grades and grades and grades levels behind. And so people self-selected. They said, hey, I support the school. I love what we're doing. I think there are people that are, more suited for this work.
So going into that first year, what else did you do? That you said there were some
Again, it was a multifaceted approach. Yeah. I think the next thing that we really prioritized was families. So we had multiple family events. We had multiple home visits. I can remember a number of stories. One of the stories I remember is the first summer day I was there, I was walking and, my intent was to hit about 10 homes every day. What I wanted to do, what our intent was to introduce myself, some of our team members, let them know that there were changes ahead and that we really wanted input. As I was walking down, Fayette, and there was someone trailing me. And, I just had met this person. It was my custodian. He's about 6'7". After the first house I visited, I actually stopped. I walked back to him. I said, Mr. Brown, what are you doing? And he said, oh, well, I just want to make sure you're all right. And I said, what do you mean I'm all right? And he said, well, the last principal and several principals, I used to always walk them to their car at night just to make sure they were safe. And I don't know where your car is, but you've been walking for a little while and you keep stopping in houses. Are you okay? And I actually explained to him that, as part of strategy, we were going to knock on doors and we were going to introduce ourselves. And, that was really our goal that summer, was to meet as many families as possible, whether it was knocking on doors, whether it was having summer barbecues. The only way that you can have an impact and you can have a positive relationship is if you're actually present. That's our belief. You can't be unknown. And so,
what was the reaction of those parents? You're the principal?
I think that's
you're coming to my house to talk to me?
I think that's the first one, is there's surprise, and then it's a little disarming.
Yeah.
And you always want to be respectful when you're going to a home. So, we'll always knock on doors and we'll step back. We'll get off the steps. There'll be a safe space. And when they ask us who we are, we tell them. I think they expect us to, tell them that we're selling something. Once we get into the conversation, we generally were invited into homes, and people were very excited that we were taking the time to, you know, learn a little bit about them on their turf, as opposed to, you know, this idea that, you know, families, the only relationship would be families coming into schools.
That school had a low attendance. It had low scores, everything on the low side. So it was all uphill.
I think that that's correct when you're looking at it on paper. I think one of the things that we found is there were a lot of assets. There were a lot of assets in the community, whether you're talking about after-school programs, whether you're talking about families that believed in Commodore through and through, in spite of the negative press, in spite of the declining scores and the declining population. Other people that, you know, with pride said, you know, my grandmother went here, and then my mother, and now me, and now I'm going to send my kid there. And so, you know, for us, there wasn't anything wrong with the kids, and there wasn't anything wrong with the families. I think it was putting it together in terms of what the school was offering and how we were presenting ourselves.
What would you say is the most important thing you did that year? Was it changing the staff to get started, or what was the biggest step you took and the biggest improvement you saw that first year?
I mean, it's a really hard question to answer, because, again, I think there's so many factors. You know, for me, it was that if I could cheat and tell you it's all those things together, it's really that change was visible. I think in so many cases, our community has been told there's going to be change. Well, they had five different principals in 4 years. They've had teachers turn over. They've had a new curriculum or new books. All those things happen. But they all kind of happen in isolation, and then they all kind of disappear. For us, our attitude was, we need to make sure that they can see this change in a very visible, very real manner. And so that's why we had summer events. Not many people see teachers in the summer. I think teachers get a bad rap. Educators get a bad rap. We're here. We're present. We're engaged. We want to be part of something, be part of a community. I think it was disarming for them to see 40 staff members that were new, that they didn't know at all, come and introduce themselves and say, I'm excited to be your teacher. I think it was disarming for them to, you know, walk into a building that was welcoming. One of the first things we did was we knocked down the counter that was in the main office and reinforced glass. You know, we were going through a minor renovation, and the district and the contractors asked me, what would you like to see happen here? And the first thing we wanted to get rid of was this barrier. There was this barrier where parents couldn't step behind this island.
Yeah.
And, staff was on one side and families and students were on the other side. That sends a message, and that sends a negative tone around, you know, this really isn't a partnership. This is us telling you how this is done. So I think it was disarming for families to see that removed. I think, again, computers are great. It was something that, you know, when people walk into our school, they say, you don't seem like an under-resourced school. And, you know, what I tell them is, that's BS. We think because there are computers in a room that we're not under-resourced. Computers are what every single student in every single school should have. And I think that's what we were trying to flip for our community, was we're going to have higher expectations of you as parents. We're going to have higher expectations of students and of teachers. But you should also have higher expectations of what we're putting out. We always talk about, minor things like, is there writing on the wall? Are the toilets clean? Guess what? Everyone responds to those things. And the least we can do is make sure that there's a roll of toilet paper in a bathroom, that there are paper towels and soap, that there's not garbage littered through the hallway. All of these things are messages to our young children and our families. And when you have a different message, I think everyone responds to that. And so that's, when I say it's visible change, yes, you had a new principal. Yes, you had new staff members. Yes, you had new books. Yes, you had computers. We wanted that reaction to be everywhere so that people began to understand that someone loved them, someone cared about them. And this was more than just about getting better scores. This was about, really changing outcomes and trajectory in a long-term manner.
You enrolled your own children in the school.
I did.
And the word got around, and that meant something to people, do you know?
Yeah, I mean, people like to talk about, the word got around and that changed things. I'm not sure. I think I'll let others make that decision. For my wife and myself, this was really about this message we've always said, since we became teachers, which is, what would we want as parents? And, that gets thrown around a lot. if you're going to throw it around, then you better have your kid in the school. And there was no reason. We're Baltimore City residents. It's not our zone school, but there was no reason why they shouldn't enroll in this school. And I think the message was, we're going to make sure that this school is great. You could count on that. You could trust that because we're now part of the community. And I think that was more the message, that we weren't going to get in our car and leave these things behind. We were going to be part of this struggle. We were going to be part of this climb. And then we were going to be part of this success.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah.
How have you done it? By the way, it's been how many years now? You're finishing which year?
This is year number 8. I have 3 children at the school. One's in 5th grade, one's in 4th grade, and one's in pre-K.
And how is the school doing overall? Where are we today at Commodore John Rogers?
School can always improve, and we are still in the process of improving. I don't think that will ever change. When we started 8 years ago, the Sun threw MSA scores back in the day. We did a little tabulation, and out of 875 total schools in Maryland, we were at 872 when you combined the elementary and middle school scores.
Wow.
There aren't necessarily those rankings right now. This is the statistic that I actually am proudest about. First, it's enrollment. We were at 250 students. We're now going to be at 900 total students. We pretty much grew by 100 every single year up to this point. And for me, again, that's a big vote of confidence that not only are we retaining kids, but there are children and families out that aren't currently going to our school or that weren't going to our school that are now wanting to get in, and we'll serve anyone in the city.
Are those mostly kids in your zone?
No, they come from all over the city. So for us—
That's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, if
that, I mean, that really means something.
If you're not happy at your school, I get it. I'm a parent.
Yeah.
As long as we're not, you know, too crazy in terms of how large our class size is, we're going to take you in because, you know, we know what it's like to want to be in a better school.
When you say it could always improve, were you looking at scores of math and
reading? Yeah, I'm looking at scores. I'm looking at those scores. But, you know, just to get back really quickly to that point, the biggest, other than enrollment, the other big, you know, achievement I feel is we talk about to our students and our families about Commodore to College. And, you know, what does college mean for a four-year-old?
I saw this phrase. I was going to ask you about it. Commodore to College.
I mean, that captures our vision. You know, obviously, we're in the business of school. College isn't for everyone. But since we're in the business of education, then the highest level or the next level is obviously high school and then college. And so our goal is to make sure that we do everything we can to make sure kids are eligible for college and they succeed for college. So we wanted something that would stick. I think that's one of the biggest things is we wanted to have a reason to base all our decisions on so that when we made decisions around budget, when we made programming decisions with our staff, or when we were trying to address something with students and families, it's very easy to say, you know what, is this moving us in the right direction? Is this moving you in the right direction towards college? And so, you know, that became kind of not just the vision, but the rallying cry. We wanted to make sure that at a very early age, our students heard again and again and again college, and again and again and again, that will be you in a matter of however many years.
Do you do anything more with that, such as college visits or have people come in to talk about college?
Yep. So we have a program called the Commodore Collegiates. That is essentially a student of the month program. But it's really neat because not only are students recognized for demonstrating performance, demonstrating behavior, demonstrating a mindset that's going to move them to college. But they also get recognized and rewarded in a certain way. So the first thing is they get bracelets that identify that they're a collegiate. I could tell you every single student in that building wants that bracelet. You know, it's about 25% of our students earn it every year. And so it's something that, you know, again, is visible. They also get a celebration breakfast, which, you know, again, we're not catering it. We're not paying for that. This is something I'm really proud of. Our staff actually will wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning. They'll whip up, you know, about 100 pancakes, 10 pounds of bacon, a whole ham. We go through a rotation. The idea here, you know, this was spurred on by my staff, was we need to make this feel special. We want our not just our students to feel recognized, but we also want our parents to see what it feels like, which is it feels good when their child is recognized for something positive. And so they'll go all out and make a great breakfast. And then they'll go on a trip. And so right now we partner with UMBC. Our students will go on a half-day trip there. The big thing for us is we needed for our students to see what a college campus and a college experience is like. So they'll, you know, obviously go through a STEM activity in a classroom. They'll meet college-age students. The thing that they love most, in addition to visiting the dorms and going to the gym, is eating in the dining hall. Our students, it's like, you know, nothing they've ever seen before. They'll say, can I go out for seconds? And we'll say, absolutely. This is what it's like when you go to college.
Yeah,
you could
cool.
eat a lot of food.
That's great, so, Mark.
Yeah.
There's something else I wanted to ask you about. In addition to Commodore John Rogers, you are helping other schools. This is a program that started, a couple of years ago with some other schools that really needed some help?
Right. So it started last year. It's called the 100% Project. The idea is that there are other schools that are going through the turnaround process that have been identified, and they could benefit from the experience we went through at Commodore. There's a lot that we learned, and it wasn't all pretty, and it wasn't all perfect. But through 8 years of going through that process, there are a lot of strategies that we picked up. There's a lot of things that we could help support other schools. And when they're going through these experiences, say to them, you know what, it's okay. This is normal. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. And it looks really good.
So do you consult with the other principals? And does your staff help the other teachers? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's essentially a collaborative partnership. What we basically have rolled out is that Commodore, meaning not just myself as the principal, but also the rest of the staff, our school essentially serves as a lab school. And what that means is that as the other schools, and those other schools are Mary Rodman, James McHenry, and Hartford Heights, and Ace High School is actually going to be joining this collaborative effort next year.
It's a high school in Hamden, right?
It's a high school in Hamden moving into a new building, our newly renovated building, the Robert Poole Building on 36th Street. What this allows is for teachers, for educators, for principals to be working and learning from one another. And I'll tell you, this isn't just about Commodore imparting its wisdom from previous experience. We're learning just as much from these other schools. And, the big lesson that we learned is educators like learning from one another. And there is a lot to learn, and we need to open up practice. And I think that's really the big push that we had was, let's not have schools operating on an island. I am always trying to steal ideas, steal methods, anything that will help support the current school I'm working it with. That's the idea here, is that by bringing people together and opening up practice, progress will get accelerated.
Hmm. I had a question I want to ask you about parents.
Yes.
Oftentimes, because I'm in the news business, I deal with news stories. News stories break. A lot of times this news is not good. It's tragic. It involves violence in Baltimore City, or it can be some other pathology that's playing out in public. And I'll get comments from readers who say parents aren't involved. These kids are on their own. These kids are basically feral because they don't have any guidance from adults. And I hear this a lot, especially from people who live in the suburbs and have this view of Baltimore City. This is their sort of view of a stereotypical Baltimore City school parent, that they're not really a school parent. They're not really involved. So I wonder what your observations are about that. And if over the time you've been a principal or even a teacher, whether you've noticed any changes there in terms of parents and their connection to the school that their kids go to.
Well, I think we could talk for hours about that. I think it's all around the narrative that you choose to share. And if you're talking about the news business, which I don't know much about, I'm sure that's the narrative that sells. What I would tell you really simply—
Oh, it doesn't sell. I'm just saying this is the reaction we get sometimes about— stories that we publish about crime in the city, about juveniles being involved in crime, for instance.
Yeah. And I could see that. And I think, when people comment, it's those extreme pieces that, people tend to comment about. I mean, I think from my end, it's pretty simple. If you have the time, go talk to the 900 parents at my school. They are amazing. I think one of the things that we've messaged to our staff and that we really hold is this idea that parents only want what's best for their kids. That's what they want. And if you don't believe that, then you really shouldn't be in this business. Before you have another opinion, you need to walk into a relationship with that in mind. Because if you don't, you're automatically operating at a deficit. You're making assumptions. And with those low expectations, there's not really going to be a productive relationship that arises from that. So, you know, we just had this, we just brought all the schools together that work in the 100% project, and we closed, our staff didn't know this, but we closed with two students, Darian and Aaron, who left Commodore, moved through the eighth grade 4 years ago. They ended up getting scholarships to a couple schools. One was Archbishop Curley and the other was Gilman. I'd probably tell you, you know, how often does that get covered? It wasn't covered for these two kids, but I could tell you what it meant to our staff. We're working with our staff members. We're working on some sort of professional development. And to close in that manner and to say, you know what? You cannot forget why we're doing this. And if you forget, let's send you off on your Memorial Day weekend with this. And Aaron and Darian came out and they talked about the colleges that they're going to next year. They talked about what track they're on. What I said to everyone is, if you remember, Aaron and Darian weren't choir boys. We spent a lot of time, kind of working with them and, you know, helping them through whatever struggles they were facing. But when you put the work in, and when you work cohesively with families that also want the same for their children, which is for them to reach their potential, sky's the limit. And to have two black males standing in front of their teachers, they're now over 6 feet tall, and we're just in awe because they recognize the work that it took for them, but also they demonstrated their gratitude to their teachers. It's something that I think, you know, a lot of teachers often say there's not a lot of gratitude. There is, if you look at where children are headed, what they end up doing. And, you know, you understanding that you had and where they came from, and you understanding that you had a small piece in that.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the important message.
So that keeps your boat floating.
I don't see how it can't keep your boat floating.
At Commodore John Rogers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Mark.
No problem.
Congratulations on your award, too.
I think anytime you get an award for us, it's that it shines a light, a positive light, on our overall community, our students, our staff, our families. They're the ones that are working really hard. I just have a lot of pride that I'm able to have a small part in it.
Mark Martin is principal of Commodore John Rogers Elementary Middle School in East Baltimore. He says his school saw more improvement in state assessments this past year, and he's expecting another 60 students at his school in September. We wish him continued success, and the same to our other guests this week, Cindy Harkham of City College, Emily Hunter of Arlington Elementary Middle, Matt Hornbeck of Hampstead Hill Academy, and the enthusiastic Kimberly Hill Miller of Lockerman Bundy Elementary. I'm going to close out with the song she wrote and produced to get her students ready for the iReady assessments. I hope you've enjoyed and learned something from this series of conversations with Baltimore school principals. I'm Dan Rodericks of the Baltimore Sun, thanking you for listening, and we'll see you again soon for another episode of Roughly Speaking. You know what you gotta do, the answer's right in front of you. Looking at them easy clues, click an answer that you choose. But you're reading all the text, and the questions come on next. Double backing, search the text, use the clues, then select. But you're reading all the text, personal notes, double check, gotta listen up, don't forget. Double back and search the text.
State. We don't need a calculator, do your work all on the paper. If your answer's not there, skip the problem, do it later.
Add the number, multiply, when it's fraction, simplify. Lesser, greater, alligator, don't give up, you gotta try. Read the problem, write it down, get that pencil off the ground. Process of elimination, double check your computation.
Yeah. We gon' pass that already. We gon' pass that already. We gon' pass that already. We gon' pass that already.